If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
We're continuing our sermon series, Overcomers, Lessons from the Churches of Revelation. By way of review from last week, I want to review the message that was entitled Overcoming Complacency. I believe we have a slide up there to show that. There were three parts to this letter. First, there was a complaint. Dead reality versus a live reputation. We said that this church, the church of Sardis, had a live reputation. They were busy. They were active. They were doing things. But the Lord said the reality was they were spiritually dead. How many know there's a difference between spiritual things happening and activity for activity's sake? And so that was the case in that church. The correction that the Lord issued was for them to wake up. Wake up as if they were in a spiritual slumber. Wake up, and the Lord said, remember. Remember how it was in the beginning. And then the challenge, as is to many of these churches, was to overcome. And the Lord promised that those who overcome would be acknowledged before the Heavenly Father. So that was our message last week on overcoming complacency. And I, I think the messages of all these letters are important to the modern day church. But I think overcoming complacency was a big one, if you understand what I mean. And so we need to take that to heart. If you weren't here, didn't get to hear the message, you know, all of our Sunday services are available on our Facebook and YouTube pages. You can watch the video of the entire service. Also, how many know that we have a podcast page? How many know that? Nobody knew we have a podcast? Okay, we have to correct that. The audio of every sermon is available on our podcast page. You can get there from our website. How many know we have a website? Thank the Lord. Well, if you go to our website, harvestnova.com, and click on the media link, you will find audio messages, audio recordings of all of our sermons, so you can catch up. I'm encouraging you to do that, okay? If you're prevented from being in the house of the Lord, we love you to be here in person, but if you can't be, either watch the service on our Facebook or YouTube page, or listen to at least the sermon message on our podcast that you now know is found on the media link on our website, harvestnova.com. Okay. We got that straight. Good. Okay. I might have to cut that part out of this recording. I don't know. We'll see. Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The title of my message today is Overcoming Weakness. Overcoming Weakness. The original Philadelphia, not the one in Pennsylvania, but this church in Philadelphia. How many know what Philadelphia means? City of brotherly love. You can draw your own conclusions about our Philadelphia in regard to its name, but the city of brotherly love was founded about 150 BC, the original Philadelphia. It was destroyed by an earthquake in AD 17, and the shocks continued for a number of years, causing residents to flee the capital repeatedly. The church in Philadelphia was small. It was not influential. It had suffered persecution. It was, outwardly at least, the symbol of weakness. Not very big, not very influential. Suffered persecution. It was a symbol of weakness. The letter to the church here at Philadelphia is one that has no condemnation, as we have seen at other churches. No complaint about the church is found in the letter to Philadelphia. This letter is written to encourage them in their weakness. Christ is described here as him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. In other words, Christ is writing as one who is in complete control. How many know that whatever we see around us, however we feel, whatever the headlines say, whatever the newscasts say, whatever anything else says, how many know Jesus is still in control? Do we believe that? Amen. Sometimes we don't live like we believe it, but we believe it. He's still in control. We find here in the words of Christ that the key to overcoming weakness is to be faithful. And so this morning, let us look at this letter, which has a commendation, a charge, and a challenge. And let's see how this may apply to us as the modern day church. First of all, the commendation. We said no condemnation, but there is a commendation. They kept the word of God and did not deny the Lord's name. As in other letters, the Lord says here, I know your deeds. I know your deeds. He says in verse 8, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. They had been kept out of the synagogue by the apostate Jews, but Christ has opened to them the door to the true synagogue, the kingdom of God. They would not be excluded. The Jews who ran the synagogue in that city, the Lord calls it the synagogue of Satan. We've seen him use that phrase before. These were Jews, and they went through the rituals, but they were not godly people. They were not serving God. And they held the keys to the synagogue, and they said to these Jewish Christians, we're not going to let you into the synagogue. The Lord says, however, I will let you into the true synagogue, the kingdom of God. He talks about their state. He says, because you have a little power. I already said they were not influential or powerful. He says, and you have kept my word. How many know almost nothing pleases the heart of God more than when we obey his holy word? Did you know that? When we keep his word, when we, to the best of our ability, live our lives in accordance with the word of God, that pleases the heart of God. And if we have no higher aspiration than to be obedient to God's word, that's a pretty good one, I think. And the Lord makes note of it here. You have kept my word. And he says, you have not denied my name. Though persecuted, they remain faithful. I've shared in a previous message in this series how in many places there were these trade guilds. And the activity of these guilds were immoral activities. And you could not often do business in a city without being a part of this trade guild, whether it had to do with being a silversmith or a stonemason or whatever it might be. And so for Christians, it was a very real choice whether or not they would serve God and stay out of these immoral guilds or participate in them in order to make a living. In other words, they had to choose between their faith and the ability to make a living. That's a tough choice, isn't it? Imagine if you had to make that choice. And they would virtually have to deny the name of Jesus. But Jesus says here, you have not denied my name. You know, you've heard it said, we often say it can never happen here in America. But I believe that there may come a day when we have to choose whether or not to honor the name of Jesus or whether to keep our very lives or to keep our jobs here in this country, in America. So, Pastor Tim, that happens in third world countries. That can never happen in America. Well, how many know we've seen a lot of things happen in America we thought we'd never see? New waves of godlessness, things we couldn't have conceived of even 10, 20 years ago, are sweeping across our land. Don't make the mistake of thinking it can't happen here. Anywhere there's godlessness, anywhere there's opposition to the values of the Word of God, our lives or our very least our ability to earn a living could be at risk unless we deny the name of Jesus Christ. What will we do in that day? I pray that we'll make the right decision. The Lord said to the church at Philadelphia, you have not denied my name. And then he tells them what he will do for them because they've been faithful. He says, I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. The Jews who had rejected Christ were, for that reason, actually false Jews, thus belonging, as I said, to what Jesus called the synagogue of Satan. The promise that they would come and bow at the feet of the church is ironically reminiscent of God's promise to his covenant people in the Old Testament, found in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 14. That scripture says, the sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. It is also pictured in Joseph's prophetic dream, subsequently fulfilled, which portrayed his brothers as bowing down before him. The bottom line is this, church, the faithful church will be vindicated. We will be the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. He says further, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those living on the earth. He would protect them from the judgment coming upon the known world and especially upon the Jews. Christ promises to sustain those who have endured. God has a reward for those who are faithful. A number of years ago, I heard about a church, an Assemblies of God church, nearby in Germantown, Maryland, which had donated to them 200 acres of land and $200,000 worth of excavation just given to the church. Small church, not influential, but God laid it on someone's heart to bequeath that to the church because God takes care of those who are faithful to him. Who knows, maybe God will have a rich donor give something like that to us. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? But the bottom line is this, God knows whose hearts are true. It is he alone who will open doors for us. He will protect us and allow nothing to come into our path that is not for our good. We may feel weak. We may feel insignificant. We may feel that we're not very influential. You know, this little group of people here on Beulah Street who get together once a week and we have our service and we wonder, can God use us to do anything? Let me tell you, God is not finished with Harvest Church. I said last week in the message and also in the business meeting, I believe God wants to turn things around for our church this year. I believe this is a year of rebounding, of moving forward, of filling these pews, of doing the work of God and seeing revival here at Harvest Church and here in Kingstown. Say, Pastor Tim, what do you base that on? I base it on the word of the Lord, that he takes care of those who are faithful to him. Hallelujah. And so the Lord had a commendation for that church, and he commends us for our faithfulness as well. Secondly, in this letter, we see a charge, and the charge can be summed up in two words. Hold on. Hold on. He said, I am coming soon. Verse 11. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Judgment is coming upon those who oppose God's people, but the church must persevere and be faithful. It must not allow the actions of others to rob us of its reward. Church, the Lord would say to you and me today, hold on, be faithful. I know we get discouraged sometimes. I know some folks have left our church and we get upset about that. Nobody gets more upset about that than your pastor and my wife. It's a fact of life. And I don't say that to trivialize it. It hurts. We had a superintendent tell us years ago, our district superintendent, say people vote every week in church with their pocketbooks and their feet. And that's true. And so we understand these things happen, and we don't always understand why. But I'll tell you this, the Lord says to you and me today, don't give up. And every time my wife and I are tempted to become discouraged, we will get a word, a reminder, a verse of scripture, a word from someone, from some source that says, hold on, be faithful, and I will reward you. And listen, church, I'm hanging on to that word today. And I want to encourage us. God is not done with our church. God is not finished with us. God wants to fill this place. God wants to save souls. God wants to raise up new ministries. And if we will be faithful and hold on to what we have. You see, we have more than we think we have. We have a great heritage. We have great resources. We have great people. We have a great vision. We have an opportunity to move forward. And we need to hold on to what we have. There was a boxer who held the heavyweight boxing title for 5 years at the end of the 19th century. His name was, it's a great name for a boxer, Gentleman Jim Corbett. You ever hear that name? Gentleman Jim Corbett. This is what he said. He said, fight one more round. When your feet are so tired, you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and you are so tired that you wish your opponent would crack you on the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round, remembering that the man who fights one more round is never whipped. I don't know anything else about Gentleman Jim Corbett. I guess out of the ring he was a gentleman, but inside the ring he was tenacious, apparently. But we need to hear what he says today because that's a word for the church. We need to fight one more round. Come on. We need to minister one more Sunday. We need to have one more set of Easter outreaches. We need to have another year of seeking God and praying and moving forward and holding on to what we have. Church, it's easy to get discouraged. But the one who perseveres, the individual and the church that perseveres will see victory in the end. Do we believe that? If we don't believe it, we're in the wrong business. We might as well close the doors and turn down the heat and save some money and leave. Hold on. We've been blessed, as I said, with so much. We need to hold on to it and not give up. It's so easy to think about what we don't have and what the way we wish things were. We forget sometimes how blessed we are. We forget sometimes how good we have it, how good God has been to us. God is faithful. We must hold on to what we have and not give up. We must keep on going, keep on serving, Keep on being faithful. Though we may feel weak at times, we must remember that no one can prevent the good that God wants to do in this church. Do you hear what I'm saying? No plan of man, no work of man, no scheme of the enemy can prevent what God wants to do in us and in this church. We need to hold on. We need to persevere. We need to be faithful. Amen? Thirdly, in this letter, we see a challenge. The Lord says, overcome and receive a new name. Overcome. We've seen that. That's a title of our series, overcome. The Lord says, overcome. Pastor Tim, it's so hard. The Lord says, overcome. Pastor Tim, it's discouraging at times. The Lord says, overcome. Overcome. The Lord issues two promises to the overcomer here. In verse 12, he says, first, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. In the temple in Jerusalem, there were two great pillars in front of the building. One was called by a name which means established or permanent. The other was called by a name which means strength. So a pillar is a symbol of strength and of permanence. Often the only parts of ancient ruins that remain standing are the pillars. Have you seen pictures of ancient ruins, buildings that are ancient ruins? And the majority of the building, you know, is crumbled. But what do you see standing there? You see the pillars. They remain. And the Lord said to those who overcome, I will make them pillars. They will be characterized by strength and permanence. Listen, we may be surprised in eternity when rewards are handed out, who gets the greatest rewards? It might not be the people you think. You hear me? It's going to be those who were faithful, those who were pillars in the house of God, who may not have made a big splash, who may not have received a lot of recognition, but the Lord says they were faithful, they held on. I'm going to make them pillars. They're the ones who keep the structure standing. I will make them a pillar in the temple of my God. The second is actually a threefold promise, a change of names, signifying a change of character. Now, we pick names for children based on, in our culture, usually based on what we like, don't we? Name that sounds good. Maybe it's a family name that's been passed on, or maybe it's a new name, a unique name that we've come up with or that we've heard somewhere, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in antiquity, you know this, in antiquity, names were a reflection of character, right? Did you know that? In Bible days, names were often given to reflect character. So when the Lord says, I will give the one who overcomes, I will change his name, the Lord says, I will bring about a change in his character, is what he's saying. And he gives a threefold promise here in regard to changing names. First, he says, I will give him the name of my God. A godly character, in other words, the restoration of God's image in a person. We wear the name of God. There was a group that, I've referred to this before, a group that sang a song years ago. It said, we wear his name. Do you know it means something to be called a Christian? A Christ follower? A person who follows after Jesus, a disciple of Jesus Christ? How many know that still means something? I will give him the name of my God. Secondly, he says, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven. The New Jerusalem symbolizes the place of the church as the covenant people of God, in contrast to the old Jerusalem rejected by God. Listen to this from Revelation 21, verses 2 through 4. John, the Revelator, says this, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The Lord says to him who overcomes, in contrast to the name of the old Jerusalem that has become apostate, I will give him the name of the new Jerusalem that's pictured as the bride of Christ, the chosen one, the one to dwell with him forever. Hallelujah. That's our birthright. That's what God bequeaths to us. He will give us a new name. We will be the bride of Christ. We will be the one with whom he dwells forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thirdly, he says, I will give him my new name. Revelation 19:12 refers to a new name given to the victorious Christ and known only to him. In other words, the overcomer will share in the triumph of Jesus Christ. We've seen the scriptures say that we will rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. One day we're going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. How many believe the word of the Lord today? Give you a new name. Heard a story about an infant girl who was born years ago in India. And she was, as an infant, she was discovered on a trash heap. You see, she had been thrown away because she wasn't a boy. She was brought from that trash heap to an orphanage, and she was cared for there until she was adopted by a wealthy family. She took piano lessons and became an accomplished concert pianist. And eventually, she got to play for the Queen of England and even had a private audience with her. She had many obstacles to overcome. I would say being thrown away as an infant is a major obstacle, wouldn't you? But she was taken and cared for. She was given a name. And she blossomed, and she had a private audience, played a private concert for the Queen of England. She was elevated from the ash heap to the Queen's throne room. That's what God promises to overcomers. This world will beat you up. This world will lock you out. This world will exclude you. This world will look down on you, but I will give you my name. I will restore you. I will elevate you into a place of ruling and reigning with me. God is restoring his image in his people, the church. Did you know that the whole history from the Garden of Eden, when mankind first fell into sin, the whole history of the world from that moment to this has been God restoring his image in his people? We are God's covenant people. We are precious in God's sight. While we may seem to be weak and insignificant in the world's eyes, he places a new name on us. He changes our character. Therefore, we must overcome today. Hallelujah. In conclusion, this morning, we need to remember we all have weaknesses. Did you know that? Of course you did. Whether we admit it or not, whether we advertise it or not, we all have weaknesses. We all lack strength many, many times. But any weakness or lack of strength we have, instead of being a hindrance, is actually a strength. Did you know that? Your weakness is a strength. Pastor Tim, sounds a bit counterintuitive. Well, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12:10. When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, it doesn't make sense. Well, it makes perfect sense because our strength, such as it is so limited, isn't it? We come to the end of our strength. And we can't fight our battles all by ourselves. But when we are weak, More importantly, when we acknowledge our weakness, we rely on His strength. Can I tell you, His strength is so much stronger than ours. His strength is limitless. I like the way Stephen Curtis Chapman put it in one of his songs. He said, His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. Hallelujah. When I'm weak, I'm strong. I'm weak in myself, yes, but I tap into the strength of Almighty God. Hallelujah. We must remember Christ's message to the quote-unquote weak church of Philadelphia. The commendation, first of all, He knows when we keep His word. He knows when we're faithful. He knows. You may be faithful in the secret place, but He knows your faithfulness. Secondly, the charge is to hold on, to persevere, to not give up. If you hear nothing else I've said this morning from the Word of God, hear this. The Word of the Lord to us today is to hold on. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't turn tail and run. Hold on and be faithful. That's the Word of the Lord. And then the challenge is to be overcomers. We will be pillars in the house of God. We'll receive a new name. We'll receive the character of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And he will reward us, and He will honor us throughout eternity. Do you feel weak this morning? Do you feel weak? You feel like you can't go another step? I'm here to tell you today, you can overcome and walk through an open door. You can hold on. You can persevere. You can be used of God. You can walk into the future God has for you if you won't give up, if you'll trust in Him and be faithful. Hallelujah. Because when we're weak, we're strong in Him.